Chapter 1, December 2009. In the midst of a growing tempest, Patrick Devlin stood on the aft deck of the Java Dawn, an ocean-going tug linked by a single massive cable to the rusting hulk of a cruise ship known as the Pacific Voyager. Huge swells came at the tug sideways, slamming against the hull with the sound of a shotgun blast. The rain fell in diagonal sheets, though it was hard to distinguish from the wind-whipped spray. Surrounded by towing and loading equipment, including a 50-foot crane and a powerful winch array, Devlin looked positively small. In truth, he stood nearly 6 feet tall, with broad shoulders that were hunched against the cold. With gray stubble on his cheeks and folds of burnished flesh hooding his eyes, Devlin appeared every bit the wizened old sailor he was. Taking stock of the deteriorating weather, the increasing strain on the cable, and the condition of the sea, he came to a grave conclusion. They'd made a ruinous choice to leave port, one they'd be lucky to survive. Another swell rolled the tug severely as Devlin grabbed the ship's phone. The captain picked up on the other end.
"What's our heading?"
Devlin yelled into the receiver.
"Due south," the captain said.
"It's no good," Devlin replied. "We'll never survive this side-on beating. We have to turn into the swells."
"We can't, Paddy," the captain insisted. "That'll take us into the teeth of the storm."
Gripping the bulkhead to keep from falling, Devlin watched a wave crash over the deck.
"This is madness," he said. "We should have never left Tarakan."
Tarakan was the primitive, almost backwater port where they'd picked up the Voyager. The old liner had berthed there for repairs some years ago after an accident. She'd ended up marooned when her shipping line went bankrupt several days later. At some point, the ship was sold to a mystery buyer, but for reasons unknown, the Voyager sat and rusted at Tarakan for 3 more years. Issues with the bankruptcy and squabbles about who would pay for the repairs, Devlin guessed. Whatever it was, the ship looked like a derelict when they'd found her, covered in corrosion from stem to stern, barely seaworthy. The hastily repaired damage from where the freighter had holed her looked like a jagged H near the bow. Now, caught up in a storm that was rapidly getting worse, she was certain to go down.
"How's the line?" the captain asked.
Devlin glanced at the thick cable that stretched from the gigantic winch across the aft end of the tug and out toward the Voyager. The cable tensed and strained with the load before going slack again.
"The cable's taut," Devlin said. "That rust bucket is starting to pitch with these waves. She's definitely riding lower as well. We need to get the inspection crew back."
Against Devlin's wishes, the captain had allowed 3 men to stay aboard the cruise ship to watch for leaks. It was dangerous in these conditions and a waste of time as well. If she was taking on water, there was nothing they could do to stop it. And if she started to go down, like Devlin thought she was, they would need to cut the cable and let her go before she dragged the Java Dawn into the depths alongside her. But with 3 men on the ship, cutting that cable would be the closest thing to murder Devlin had ever done. The big tug nosed over and dropped into the largest trough yet. As it did, the cable stretched so tight that it actually began to sing. The tension pulled the aft end of the tug backward, the water churning around the hull as the propellers fought against the strain. By the time the tug rose up on the next swell, the Voyager must have been dipping into a trough of her own because the tow cable pulled downward, bending over the reinforced steel plating of the tug's transom and forcing the aft end of the deck into the water. Devlin raised binoculars to his eyes. The action of the waves had a way of obscuring the truth, but only to a point. The Voyager was definitely riding lower.
"She's down at the bow, Captain. Listing slightly to port."
The captain hesitated. Devlin knew why. This tow was worth a small fortune, but not if the ship didn't make it.
"Call them back," Devlin shouted. "For God's sakes, Captain, at least call the men back."
Finally, the captain spoke.
"We've been calling them, Paddy.